Friends, we have been walking with Jesus, but with the ancient Mediterranean community in Corinth, and we are continuing to remember what has been so that we may serve what is here through this church. As we begin this morning, will you pray with me first and then listen for our word from God? First, let us pray. Lord our God, we do pause as we begin this part of our proclamation, asking that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer, and praying for your blessing on the reading and hearing of your holy word, in Christ's name, amen. Friends, that word this morning again from the book of 1 Corinthians, moving 10 chapters ahead of where we have been the last number of weeks. On the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 23, some very, very familiar words. Paul writes, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll hear those words again later as we gather around this table. These past 3 weeks, we've been exploring this early Corinthian church to find out what's been bothering Paul. Divisions, in a nutshell, having more to do, I've suggested, with worldly politics and power than with theological or Christological disagreements. Last week, we noted that this community is not one for all in their discernment of Jesus, in their profession of faith, and in their understanding of the cross. This week, that division finds its most treacherous expression for Paul at the common table. Neither is this community all for one. Now, I know that I have preached on the context of the Corinthian communion on at least one occasion about 6 or 7 years ago, but my guess is that not many of you remember the broader circumstances in which these words of institution that we're so familiar with were originally spoken. We hear them month after month, and we imagine the perfect community gathered around a communion table like ours, patiently and prayerfully awaiting the ritual that reminds them who they are and where they are in God's story. Well, not so at that first communion table in Corinth. There is trouble in this community. We know that already, divisions that extend even to this most sacred of rituals. The language that Paul uses before the words I read, our words of institution, go back now or later and take a look at those. Those words before the ones we just heard read are chosen to shock the community reading and sharing the words. Paul finds nothing at all commendable in their practice of the table. Their coming together for worship should be a good thing. They know the traditions of the supper and they are observing it. But Paul begins, I do not commend you. You come together not for the better, but for the worse. Yours is not the supper of the Lord. Now, in our churches today, the Lord's Supper is most often a morsel of bread and a sip or two of the fruit of the vine as a ritual memorial and participation in the Lord's or the Last Supper. But one of the members in this early community would have done something very different. One with a house large enough would host a larger dinner in which the Lord's Supper is observed. Some people in this community in Corinth are able to come early to this meal, to this dinner. The freedom to do so probably broke down along economic lines. They were rich enough to get off work, to take an afternoon, to be together early. And having arrived before many others, the few that were gathered began eating and drinking early, probably eating and drinking the choicest food and the choicest wine that was set out. When the others arrive, and Paul describes them in verse 22 as those who have nothing, they find tipsy co-worshippers and leftover food. The basic and most powerful meaning of the Lord's Supper that Paul has taught, namely that the life of faith is a life of community, has been minimalized and even lost altogether. Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. Paul writes, in the verses you see that we are so familiar with, Paul makes it clear what to do, how to do it, and why to do it. The Lord himself is Paul's source for proper procedure and purpose. Here's how you're supposed to do this thing and why. From Jesus himself, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. Do this and in remembrance. The change we hear and the charge we hear to remember every time we gather together here actually goes back way before Jesus himself, having its roots in Israel's memory of the very first Passover meal. And Paul tells the church in Corinth and us that as we gather, as we remember, we proclaim. For as often as we do these things, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We proclaim the story of God in Christ. Every time we gather, every time we remember, every time we share. When those that gather in his name, when those who gather at this table live fully the new life in Christ, their faith makes itself known. The living of their faith manifests itself to others and makes an impact on them, changing not only them, but all those around, transforming lives. When we are fully in Christ and living fully our new life in Christ, we really don't need to say anything. Our very lives, our testimony is proclamation. Paul believes that taking part in the supper is itself proclamation. Whenever you do these things, you proclaim. But the Lord's Supper, this central symbol of Christ's divine responsibility for a shared earth, the central proclamation of Christianity's liberated and sanctified life, is fractured badly in Corinth. And we've been discussing through that lens how it's even broken here, how we are, can become divided. That's a deeper problem than we may realize or want to admit. You see, in the verses just after these words of institution we are so familiar with, Paul is pretty unforgiving of this earliest of communities. Those who are participating in this meal in any other way than Paul lays out, he says, will be judged. There are consequences for the unworthy manner in which any community practices this meal. Coming to this table divided is not the way to arrive. Now, if you've thought about any of this, these words that follow are words of institution, any of the things that I have shared already, if you've thought about this judgment in any way at all, I'll bet that you probably imagine some ethereal afterlife or next life and judgment then. In that case, we can pray for forgiveness for whatever we do next time and really don't have to deal with it here and now. But I think we more accurately imagine our judgment over arriving at this table divided to be one that we experience much more immediately in the loneliness and isolation that we may feel as individuals in this community, or in the discord and dissension within the church itself. When we don't take this communion seriously, that's our judgment. Loneliness and isolation as individuals, discord and dissension as a community. The meal in Corinth was fractured. So as we've been asking all month, what about here in Pee-wee Valley? With the world pounding on our sanctuary doors without ceasing, and it is, it's pounding even now, it's out there, 24-hour news cycles and constant social media submissions, maybe even buzzing into your phones now, we're anxious, we felt it. What's next? What now? With the world pounding on the doors of our sanctuaries, we would do well to heed the cautions of Paul and to examine ourselves in this opportunity we have, individually and as a whole, as the body of Christ, as we prepare to receive again our communion. We as Christians have an obligation to know where we stand. In verse 28, Paul admonishes us to examine ourselves and only then come to the table. You see, without self-examination, without self-assessment, we too easily lose track of where we really are in our lives of faith. Your life of faith is a journey, a progression, a transformation from new birth every time that new birth happens to maturity in the one we call Christ. We're not all at the same point, but we are all on the same journey. We need to keep up to date with ourselves because we will be able to bear one another's burdens only according to the measure of our own faith. If we are feeling less than trusting, then we'll be less than trustworthy. If we are not feeling hopeful, then we can't offer hope. On the other hand, if we're full of joy, if we are joyful about and with those that we are journeying with, they cannot help but be filled with joy themselves. If we're experiencing the grace of God in our lives, then we will offer that grace to others in our lives together. This table is set as the ideal place for self-assessment to happen. And this table is the ideal place for our communal discernment. There is no doubt that this communion meal is personal. It is the most intimate sharing of oneself with God and Christ that we have, but as personal as this meal is, it's not private. This communion also includes the whole body of gathered believers. As we share, we must discern our relationships with everyone in this room. You don't have to look around, but take a moment to feel the presence of the others here with you. It's a powerful thing. The Corinthians are a study of those who have forgotten the communal nature of this our Lord's Supper. They have let the outside world color the way they commune with each other in Christ. Interestingly, as troubling as that is, as we look back over the years that have passed since Paul wrote to them, it's fascinating to consider that had they not been making such a charade of this meal, Paul would never have written to them about it, and we may never have known the tradition that was given to him that he passes on to us. Their division smooths the journey of our unity. Friends, as you prepare to receive this morning, assess yourself. As we prepare to participate this morning, let us discern our relationships with one another that we may be all for one. Let us prepare in song and creed to come together to feed one another at God's table. Amen.